Welcome to the Business Abundance Podcast, providing the tools and knowledge to help small business owners succeed. For additional resources, visit www.businessabundance.online.
Welcome back to the Business Abundance Podcast. I am Z and I am here with Rowan again.
Hello.
Today we are talking about flying too close to the moon. We are talking about ambition. And we're talking about, is it a bad thing? We just want to understand if being too ambitious will cause you problems, I guess. What is the problem if you are too ambitious, if you're not strategic in your ambition? I had someone say to me the other day that they thought ambition was actually a bad thing. Like they viewed that trait as a negative thing. So that was quite interesting because I view it in a positive light.
A lot of people view it in a negative light.
Yeah. I didn't realize that.
Don't fail.
Yeah. I was just like,
don't fall over.
No, don't. Don't try. Don't run.
Don't go near that.
Don't do it. But I've always viewed it as quite a positive thing because you can't move forward unless you are ambitious about that next step. I guess it's a very simplified version. I don't know. It was just interesting to hear someone turn around and go, "Nah, it's not a good thing."
It's amazing when you talk to people and different opinions.
Yeah, it's very valuable for self-growth.
Everyone thinks a different way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we're going to be talking about another case study. This one is about Dick Smith, and it was Australia's biggest business collapse in 2016. So they were a tech company. A retail store that dealt with
electrical retailer.
Yeah, dealt with electronic goods and a lot more. And they expanded across Australia and into New Zealand. Their expansion was a success, but they didn't plan properly. And that led to their downfall, basically. And so we're just going to take some lessons learnt from their situation, understand what happened and how you yourself as a business owner or whatever situation you're in can take away from this and implement in your business so that you're best suited for success, I guess. So they started as a small car radio installation business.
Really?
Yeah. And
you're right.
They then decided that they could do it themselves and then became a big electronic store that we knew it to be across Australia and New Zealand.
Wow.
In 2012, they were acquired by a private equity firm and went through a restructure, went public, and then they had their aggressive expansion. I think it was 2013. They increased the number of stores and then they opened new stores close to existing ones, which cannibalized sales. Mm. I loved that term when I was
cannibalized. Yeah, it's good. No, it's
just like
good
that's
word.
Great word.
Yep. No misunderstanding of that word.
Yeah, basically everyone stole everything from themselves. Inventory management problems started to show. So they had their own private label goods. So they labeled everything as themselves. And had really slow-moving inventory.
So they couldn't sell old stuff.
Yeah, and then had an overstocking issue. Which so that problem. Tied up
electrical
capital.
Technology changing, everything drops in price.
Yeah, so basically they wanted to sell their own stuff instead of what the market was demanding.
Cut out the middleman.
Yeah, and then ended up being stuck with that stuff essentially. So then over time, their debt levels rose. In 2015, suppliers tightened their terms. And in 2016, they weren't able to secure financing.
So that means like they basically would buy stock off their suppliers and they might have 2 months to pay or something like that. And then the supplier said, oh, actually, your bill's getting up there a little bit. We might, we're a bit worried about you. Maybe you should pay us in 1 month. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, well, we can't actually do that.
Yeah. Yeah, so which then forced them into voluntary administration and then liquidation.
Wow.
Which was quite sad considering how well they were doing.
Dick Smith, if I remember working in electrical retail and, you know, anything that was obscure or hard, you just didn't have it or you had no idea what it was. You're just like, oh, go to Dick Smith, they'll have it. And it was just amazing. I think in Auckland where I worked, every single salesperson in every single company except Dick Smith would have said exactly the same thing with complete faith Dick Smith had it. And Dick Smith didn't have any of that stuff. But if they did have those little odd widgets, they would have been just so insanely successful.
Yeah, just didn't have the stuff.
Yeah.
They just didn't.
They're trying to be something they weren't.
Didn't understand the market. And if you missed the last episode, I highly recommend you go back and listen to that because we deep dive into that too.
Yeah, I think they got the wrong unconventional ways to market. They missed out on the whole who are they marketing to? Mm-hmm. And they've gone, we can do all this because we are Dick Smith and we can make these products ourselves and we're Australian,
yep.
But we're really just whatever, put our name on it. And the customer's like, we don't want that. We want the one we know and trust.
Yep.
And we want to buy it from Dick Smith.
Shot themselves in the foot.
Yeah. Dick Smith's a retailer, not a maker.
Mm. Yep.
Interesting. In Greek mythology, Icarus and his father, Daedalus, were imprisoned on an island by King Minos. I'm saying this wrong, I'm sure. So to escape, Daedalus, a master craftsman, created two sets of wings made of wax and feathers. He warned his son not to fly too close to the sun as the wax would melt. He also cautions Icarus not to fly too low as the feathers could get wet in the sea. His warnings, however, went unheeded. Icarus was so intoxicated by the experience of flight that he went higher and higher. As the wax on it in his wings melted, he tumbled into the sea and drowned. The saying, don't fly too close to the sun, is a reference to Icarus. His recklessness and defiance of limitations.
I was really wondering where this was going when you first started that story. I was like, here we are talking about Dick Smith and we're coming up with Greek mythology. It makes sense though.
Mm, yeah. So flying too close to the sun. It's interesting because I don't know the details of the IPO or going to the stock market or the private equity or anything like that. But I do know that that's a way to make money as far as acquire something. Obviously, list is a way to acquire money. And then when you're a large company like that, there's valuation based on perceptions, on possibilities, a lot of things aside from dollars and cents. So expand. Here's our footprint, sell to another. You know, the idea is to sell those shares to someone else. And you can see how they can go, oh, here's a huge opportunity, a brand everyone knows and trusts. Boom, boom, boom. We can go bang, 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 pump this out. And then not quite hit the mark. And then don't get the buyer because they're not looking for to have that business in 30 years, which is something we've talked about probably in our first podcast. But, you know, you got to look long term if you want to be successful. And Rupert Murdoch, maybe, he talks a lot about that. It's pretty sad, really, because that was a very famous, well-loved brand that's just gone, we can do all this stuff. Go hard.
Yeah.
Gone.
I don't think it's necessarily as relevant for small businesses that we talk to, but the impact of private equity in retail, for example, where like financial engineering can take place, can overshadow operational sustainability, yes. I guess. So it's just you've got to be a little bit careful in that sense. Good lesson.
Interesting spot from small business, so you can relate that back because people have suppliers, they pay bills and they pay them. Yeah. You know, it's not straight away. For some people, they pay it a month later.
Yep.
When people think, oh, we can pay our creditors 2 months later. And you can. It's a bit annoying. It's a bit rude, but everyone does it. No one really sees it as being that rude. Yeah. Like, oh, we understand, you know, you'll get there. But fundamentally, you're loaning that money off them to grow your business.
Yep.
And if you don't have the cash available to sort of say, actually, we don't want to do that anymore. Mm-hmm. You have to find another supplier to loan you that money. And in Dick Smith's case, that was devastating because if their suppliers are, you know, pretty much what the market wants and they're not going to give it to the stock anymore, like they can't just choose a different one. You can't get another painter, you can't get another plumber or whatever to take the role. Yep. But it's a very big thing where people go, we've got all this money in the bank, we can do this and spend it. But if you're using other people's money, you've got a huge risk that they get sick of it and stop giving it to you.
Yep.
And then what happens?
You're stuck.
Stuck.
Very stuck. Yeah, if we're going to look at the lessons learnt as a result of the Dick Smith situation, we've got the overexpansion without a sustainable business model.
Well, the model was probably get out.
Yeah.
Sell it.
Yeah. I imagine it was. But it wasn't.
It wasn't a long-term one. It wasn't forward thinking.
Yeah, and it ended up quite dangerously. So in any sort of change management, which we do even have a podcast on, is about change, just make sure you're well prepared and people understand what's going on. But, I mean, to be honest, with the Dick Smith situation, though, that was just poor management.
Like, we have no idea. We weren't there. But, yeah, no, fundamentally, it's the management. They've got a plan. They're executing the plan, and they haven't done the focus groups. Yeah. They haven't got the right information. They've believed their own hype. They haven't got the funding that they needed to make it successful. Yeah. So most small businesses fail because of lack of cash flow or lack of working capital injected at the start.
Yep.
So they're no different in that case. Yep. They didn't listen. They didn't survey. If they did, they didn't get the right survey, or they didn't get the right mix, or they took the wrong feedback. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They didn't track inventory or fees properly, or mismanagement of that.
Yeah, it was definitely mismanagement. If they had a lot of old stock, if that was a reason listed, which it was, then no one's looking and going, okay, well, that stock costs us $300 and it's only worth $100 now, but we still need to make a profit on it, so it's going to sit on our shelf at $400.
Yeah.
No one's going to buy it. Like, just get rid of it for $100 and take the money back.
Yeah. Yeah, for small business owners, I guess I'm trying to think about what, if I were in their position listening, what would I do? I would go and have a look at all of the inventory that I have and figure out how much is it costing me to have it there.
Yes, spot on.
Yeah.
So if you've got something sitting around in the shed out the back and it's been there for 2 years for a rainy day, well, it's probably $500 that's just sitting there. Mm-hmm. Like, do you just leave $500 sitting around? $500 today is not worth $500 in 3 years. Mm-hmm. So, like, what have you got that's moving? If it's not moving, get rid of it. Even if it's a loss on what you paid for it, at least you got the money back and you can do something else with that money.
Yeah.
But you've got cash flow is highly important. So making sure when you do spend cash on something, how soon do I get it back?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Was it days to cash? It's in the book you read the other day.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, so you can have a negative days to cash as far as someone pays you in advance before you spend anything. And you could have, I buy the stock, it sits around for 6 months, then I sell it, and then someone pays me for it. And you've got 6 months before you get your cash back and your profit.
Yeah.
So that's a big lesson to learn. Mm-hmm. Just because you've got something that's worth something, if it's sitting there doing nothing, it's money you can't spend elsewhere.
Yep. Yep. Or not manage even your money.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah. And then second, or whatever point we're up to, strategic planning. When it comes to strategic planning, I think it's just important to notice that when you try and make change, or you try and develop your business in any sorts of way, or even just run your business, it's important to have a plan.
Yep.
You can't.
Well, they had a plan.
They did have a plan, yes. They didn't manage it well. You would think that it got to the point where they're like, yeah, this is not working.
Yeah, they were committed. I think, like, with the plan, it's a good plan, but what makes a good plan? So you use experience, you use information. You don't just go, oh, we could do this and this is what's worked in the past, which is pretty much what the plan was. And maybe they had some information that thought it would work better. You know, things change in industry.
Yeah.
But at what point, like you said, do they look at it and go, this isn't working, we need to pivot and do something different. So the point for businesses there, like, even though your plan sounds fantastic, at some point you've got to learn when to let go and go, it's not working, what can we change to get it working? Because bigger isn't always best.
Yeah.
So the case we use, they cannibalize their own market by opening stores next door to each other. We were talking about this earlier. Yeah. Like, what, next door? Like, no, like in the within the sort of catchment area, right?
Yeah.
Okay, that's not working. Let's shut some of those stores down. That's going to have a cost, but we're going to reestablish profitable operations. Yeah. Then we can probably reestablish finance. We can reestablish investment. Get the cash back. You know, there's some point they must have been able to look at things and go, well, this plan isn't working. But potentially that's, they couldn't, or they didn't want to.
Yeah, it's a process that you need to be able to be flexible with.
Yeah. Something I talk to people about quite a lot is just don't be too proud. Like, if it doesn't work, that's fine. Like, you talk about people that have failed. There's something that Michael Jordan says. Like, you can sort of see Michael Jordan's highlight in basketball, just all these match-winning shots on the buzzer, you know, and just dunking on people. And, like,
legend.
The legend, yeah, you know, this huge brand to himself of success and awesomeness.
Mm-hmm.
But you hear him talk, he's like, I've failed so many times. Mm-hmm. I don't even know, like, I've missed 27 game-winning shots and we've lost. Without the failure, I can't be great.
Yeah.
So it's been proud to go, not being too proud to go, oh, I can't do that. I've got to keep going to prove that I'm right.
Yeah.
But go, oh, that didn't work. I'm wrong, but let's fix it. And then I'm still awesome, you know.
Yeah.
don't just push through regardless.
Yeah. Yeah, just have a really good understanding of what you're doing and where you're going, but be flexible, be humble. And also understand who your client is. I mean, we hammer on about this in every single podcast.
People are people. You're dealing with people.
But you can't seriously expect your business to succeed, or it's a very low percentage of businesses that would succeed if you're not. Well, no, they wouldn't exist. You need to understand who you're dealing with. You need to understand what they need, and you need to be able to provide that. Who your customers are.
Yeah. So Dick Smith has this great brand. They have all these customers that believe in them for whatever reason as the place to be. So in my case, my association with Dick Smith, they had all these little knickknacks and adapters and batteries and chargers and stuff that were nowhere else, which wasn't true. But
could have been true.
But they had a lot of stuff. Anyway, but their market believed a certain thing, and then they go, well, like, well, we want to be the big boys. We want to sell Sony TVs and the Panasonic TVs, whatever. So, interesting thing though. So, we're talking about a lot of negative things about ambition, I guess. Mm-hmm. So, we're saying, is it a bad thing?
Mm.
And we're just talking, well, it is a bad thing because someone said to you back in the day, your friend the other day, you know, and Dick Smith, they aimed too high and they failed. So, you know, no good, no mismanaging.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, what if they succeeded?
Yeah. Would have been awesome.
Yeah, it would have been awesome. And maybe their plan was great and literally the industry changed or, you know, technology came through and then the prices of these things just dropped so quickly they left this old stock and they didn't expect it.
Mm-hmm.
So there could be reasons, but I think the story before Greek mythology, so flying's great, but just don't get carried away.
Yeah.
And the other bit, the interesting thing is don't go too low.
That's exactly what I was just thinking. Yeah, don't go too low, as in don't be too careful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, a little story is, okay, we've got this great opportunity. We've got this means to do something. Go enjoy it. Have fun. Do the best you can. But don't go too high.
Mm.
Like, don't overextend yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Keep it within reason. And I find for a lot of people that we've dealt with through the years is that they start going well and they're like, oh, we can do more. Mm-hmm. Like, and it's like each week they're trying to do something new.
Mm-hmm.
Or after a year, they might have doubled their turnover, for example, which is huge, right? But then they're like, oh, but we could be doing all this more stuff. I know we could have more clients. It's like, but at what point would you think you're successful?
Yeah.
Are we aiming too high?
Yeah.
And are we sort of overextending ourselves?
Mm-hmm.
And you can always do that, but then at some point you're so geared up, you've got so many balls rolling and you'd never sort of sat back and reap the rewards for a while.
Yeah.
You don't have that little safety net.
Yeah.
So I think it's, you know, when you do have success and you've aimed to do something and you see it, just sit on it for a while and let it go. And is that what we're getting? Is it actually working like we thought? Yeah. Yes, it is. Get the reward and then actively plan your next step rather than just keep on reach, push.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a fine line, isn't it? You don't want to be so ambitious that you just overdo it and can't put any attention into anything, therefore nothing succeeds. Or you don't want to go so careful that you don't end up doing anything at all.
Yeah.
And then you may as well have tried and failed. That's the better option because at least then you've learned instead of just staying doing nothing and learnt nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, doing nothing is a choice too.
Yeah, well, doing nothing is an action. Mm-hmm. So, like, oh, you can't do nothing. It's like, well, you can.
Yeah, you're allowed to.
Yeah. You know, like in cricket, for example, I play cricket. So, if a bowler balls a really good ball and if I try to hit it, there's a good chance I edge it and I get caught and then I'm out.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to hit the stumps. I can leave it. Sounds pretty boring, but I'm not out. I was probably going to score. The best choice is to do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So you do nothing. I think in golf too, like you hit the balls into the trees. I call a safety drop personally, which is I'm too stupid to responsibly tap the ball back onto the course to then take a longer shot.
So like a mulligan.
No, safety drop.
Okay.
I will instead try to thread the 30-centimeter gap between eight trees and smoke a ball trying to hit it 200 meters.
Oh, yes.
So I call it a safety drop because if I do that, I'm most likely going to hit a tree. It's probably going to ricochet and hurt me.
Yes. Very wise.
But that doesn't count as a shot because it's a safety-related issue.
Oh.
Yeah.
Not real
good. Anyway, the point is that's not an action.
Yeah.
But there's the sensible thing to do because you're a good golfer is what?
The safety shot. No, hit it through the trees.
straight through the tiny little gap or get back on the course?
I'll get back. Get back on the hole. Yeah, get back on the hole.
Yeah.
I say that with hesitation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, like, you know, yeah. You know, it's boring. That's yeah. The whole, that's proving the yes, point though. Everyone goes, oh, we could just, I can see it happening. We just go through there.
If I just draw it, yeah. Fade it up.
Yeah. 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 But I know I should just go there. It's a bit boring. But then I could just hit the ball down there.
Yeah.
And which is the same.
Par, I'm going to be safe.
Yeah, I didn't realize this till the other week. Like, I was going, why do I keep doing this? It's fun. That's why. But, like, shot-wise, I could just tap it here because it's still one shot to the green.
Mm.
But if I hit it through all these things, I'm not on the green anyway.
Yep.
So, I still have to do at least another shot.
Yeah.
So, I may as well just tap it there. It's really boring.
Yeah.
But in business, I think that flying to the coast of the sun is we can go for that Hail Mary.
Yeah.
But doing nothing or just doing like a little sidestep might actually set us up to have a really good opportunity with smooth sailing.
Yeah.
And then I guess vice versa was what you just mentioned before is the water.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, if you do nothing.
Well, not do nothing, but aim too low.
Aim too low, yes.
Yeah, so we've got these great wings. You need to be flying with the wings.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there's no point hanging next to the water. Like, get a boat.
Mm.
Because if you go on the water, you're going to drown. So, but that's the thing. If you're sitting there in business, sitting there doing nothing, sitting on the train tracks, what's the saying? If you sit on the train tracks and just stay still, the train will run you over.
Yes.
So, if you're sitting in business, sitting there doing nothing, and you see it, and my pet peeves, the local chamber of commerce is filled with the retail shops complaining about the town dying and no one coming to the shops anymore and they're not doing anything to change their business. Excuse the tone, but, you know, I see that a lot of times. But they don't. They complain about all the things that have changed in the last 20 years and why people don't come to the shops anymore, and none of them are changing. So they're sitting still, doing nothing, and getting run over by the world, and then they're upset about it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you've got the wings. You have to have some form of ambition.
Yeah.
And you can't just go, I've been successful, I'm going to stay here.
Yeah.
Yeah,
everyone will come back to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a pretty amazing little story, really.
Yes.
Someone made that up back in the day. It's pretty smart. Deep. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it is good. When we talk about wings, I'm trying to think about, like, maybe that's a new employee with some ambition, or you've got a bit more profit, or you've been received a grant, you've got an opportunity that's presented itself, you've got a new customer base. Like, there's so many opportunities out there. You've just got to identify them and figure out which one you can
practically do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And there might be three of them might be fantastic and you do them all, but which one, if you can... Can you really do one? We talked about it with a couple of podcasts ago, people pleasing, like overextending yourself. But, yeah, does it make sense to do all three and you potentially muck it all up, or do you just take the win on one?
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, and if you feel like you don't have the resource or ability to get one but you know the opportunity is there within grasp, then acquire the resources to do it.
Yeah, or give it to someone else that you like.
Yeah. Well, that's true.
Hey, guys, check this out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, there's options. And I think the whole ambition is a bad thing comes from, you know, again, we talk about this quite a lot too, but you get taught to be in a factory mindset.
Mm-hmm.
When you grow up, you're going to do this, and that's what you're going to do your whole life till you retire. You know, what do you want to be when you grow up? And that's you're literally going to do that all day, 9 to 5.
Yep.
No one's talking about changing that, but that's how the world works. You know, people need to do things and there needs to be order. So ambition is against that system, because if everyone had ambition to be the boss, who's doing the work?
Yep.
Everyone's unhappy, right? So that's not saying that ambition is the best thing. A lot of people prefer not to have the ambition and to have the safety of being at home and knowing that they're protected and everything's safe and everything will be the same. And that's a value and a human nature as well. So I think it's not a bad thing or a good thing, but I think if you're in business, you need to have some ambition, because otherwise you're wasting space and you're preventing other businesses from succeeding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, couldn't agree more.
Mm.
Well, that's an interesting case study. I'm actually keen to do some more. I feel like the last few podcasts have been pretty interesting in just assessing. So if anyone has any case studies they'd like us to chat through, send them through. We can have a chat about them.
She's keen.
Very good. All right, guys, we will leave it there and we will talk to you in the next podcast.
Bye.
Bye.